We'd like to try and do Chazorah today, Be'ez Hashem. Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, all the way to, Mem Amud Beis to Mem Aleph Amud Beis. That's the plan, Be'ez Hashem today. Va'al HaNoivlois. The Mishnah discussed Noivlois and said, according to the Tanakama, you make a brocha Shehakol. And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, the Min Klola. And a min klola doesn't warrant a bracha at all. The question is, what exactly is noivlos? So we saw this. My noivlos. Reb Zeira v'Reb Ilo'o. Chad oma bushli kamra. Overcooked or overheated. How does Rabbi Art Scroll translate this? Is it actually being cooked or just being burnt in the sun?
I think they said burned in the sun.
Burned in the sun, I think.
Yeah,
right.
That's what it says.
Right, scorched in the sun. That's right. I think we said it last time as being overcooked. But having looking at it again, I think it's not. It got burnt in the sun. It got burnt in the sun. That's the first opinion. And the other opinion says, V'chad omra tamri dezika. The other one said there are dates that the wind blew off. Now, says the Gemara Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda Oima Kol Shehu Min Klola Ein Mevarchin Olov. Bish Leima Lamand Oma Bushli Kamra. That's all fine and well. That's understandable if you translate Noivlois as being overscorched in the sun. Dates, and therefore they got burnt. Hainu De Kori Lei, that's why you're calling them Min Klola, because look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. Something out of the ordinary. El olaman da oma tamri de zika. But if you hold that the wind blew them off, my min klola. Why is that called a min klola? I mean, it's a perfectly normal thing for a wind to come, and the wind will necessarily blow the dates off the trees. So why is that called a min klola?
We assume it's unripe, and therefore it's a klola because.
That what's unripe?
When they blew off. In other words,
okay.
Why would we assume
that?
That would perfectly make perfect sense.
But he didn't translate it as that. Yeah.
Who didn't translate it?
When the Gemara says Tamri Dezika, it sounds like any wind. Any wind blew them off. So that sometimes happens, even when they are ripe. So the Gemara for the moment said, Ashara, one word answer. So you're quite right. We're going to have to say that Rabbi Yehuda was never referring to Noivlois, and when he said min klala, he was talking about the other things, which was chomet, you have wine that went sour, obviously that's a min klala. Ikud omri, some have a different version of this bishloima. Bishloima laman da oma, bushli kamra, it's all fine and well according to the opinion that says that we're talking about dates that got scorched in the sun. So according to that opinion, I understand why it is that you're making a bracha at all. You're making a bracha shahakel. Why? Sorry, not a bracha where you make a bracha at all. Which bracha it is? I understand you're making a bracha shahakel. Why? Because definitely being a downgrade. Remember, we certainly explained that obviously we're talking about where they haven't been so badly burned that they're rendered inedible. Once something becomes inedible, there's no bracha, even if you decide to eat it out of desperation or whatever reason. We're talking about clearly where there's not that burnt, but it's definitely a downgrade. And if it's a downgrade, I understand why it's gone from ho'et to shahakol. Elo leman d'omer tamri d'zika shahakol? Question mark. Surely boirei pri ho'et mi boirei l'baruchi. Surely, Bore Priya 8 would be the appropriate bracha. Why?
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. I think we suggested last time you could, in theory, have said that once it fell onto the ground, it became squashed or something. But at the moment, the Gemara is not assuming that. So, what's the difference whether the date's on the tree or off the tree? It's the same bracha. Why would it be downgraded? So, that seems to be an enormous question on whoever translated Noivlois as wind-swept dates.
The concept of a downgrade, is that like a Hashgafic concept? Or nevertheless, it's food that Hashem gave to us.
Yeah, so. That's why you're making a bracha.
Right.
That's why you're making a bracha. If it's no longer considered food, because it's been so badly downgraded that it's inedible, you don't make a bracha at all.
But the fact that you
if it's downgraded, that we learned early on in the parak. But a bracha only maintains its bracha if it's in the same level as it was when it was originally came into being. So at the moment we have a big question. How can you possibly translate noivlos as being windswept dates? If that's the case, we don't really understand why would you only make a bracha shahakol? So the Gemara says, Elo, our favorite word. Elo always means a backtrack. You're right, we have to now rethink, we have to reconsider. Benoivlois stoma. What does that mean? Whenever it says noivlois stam, like in our Mishnah, it doesn't qualify what type of noivlois we're talking about, it just says noivlois, then you're 100% right. Kula almalei pligi, de bushli, kamra, ninhu. Everybody would agree that there's only one translation. And the translation is overburnt dates, which would explain very nicely, number one, why it's shahakol. It would also explain why Rabbi Yehuda called it a min klola. Ki pligi, the argument that we mentioned before, is not talking about noivlois stam. What is it talking about? Ki pligi benoivlois tomorrow. That's apparently a different type of noivlois, and it must be different because you're calling it a different name. Now, where do we find the concept noivlois tomorrow? The Tanan. Because we have a Mishnah, Hakalin Shebedanai. What's Kalin Shebedanai? We discussed this last time. Tamai is a chiddush minat midrabbonon. You have to re-maisa fruits that were bought from Amon Oretz out of concern that he never took maisrus. But it's not a chiv deraisa. If it is kal, what does kal mean? It's something that's not that prominent in the first place, then you have no reason to assume that the Amon Oretz didn't take maisrus. Why would he not? He's not going to lose much money from it. If we're talking about a very prominent and expensive food, that's when we have concern. The Amon Oretz is more worried about his money than the mitzvahs, so therefore maybe he didn't take maisrus.
Isn't the call here talking about being mekel when there's a doubt?
Yeah, no, you're 100% right, 100% right. The reason is because they're not choshev. So a kalin shebet demai means the cases that chachamim were mekel. When were they mekel? They were mekel in the cases of fruits where they're not choshev.
Little value.
Don't have very little value. Therefore, there's no real grounds to suspect the Amoritz wouldn't take maize. It doesn't cost him much. What's the example of that? It's a whole long list. Shisin, harimin, izradin. The Gemara will explain what they are soon. B'noi suachu, b'noi sikma, v'gufin, v'nitzpa, v'noi vlois tamra. So here you see what's mentioned. It doesn't say noivlois. If it be noivlois, translation is absolutely unequivocal, and that is bushli kamra, over scorched dates. But over here it says something else. Here it says noivlois tamra. Oh, noivlois tamra. That must be something else. And there's machlekas. One opinion says it's also bushli kamra, and the other opinion says that it's called Tamri Dezik. If you remember, the Gemara is going to eventually ask, one second, if it really is Bushli the Kamra, so why has it got a different title? Why is it called something else? If there's a different title for it, then presumably it means something else. So to the contrary, now all of a sudden we understand the opinion that says it refers to Tamri Dezika. So that would be very good. Noivlois Stam is when they get overburnt, and Noivlois de Tamra is when they get windswept. That would make a lot of sense. But for the moment, we're assuming it's a machlek. So let's have a look. The Gemara goes through this list one by one. We'll do it quickly because it's not really our main subject. Shisin, Omar, Rav, Achan, Omar, Rechnan, Min, Ta'inim. They're a type of fig. Rimin is candy. Candy at the side.
Also a type of fig.
Ho Izradin, Tulshi. B'noi suach, Omer Rabba Chanon Rechon, Te'eni Chivrita, also a type of figs, a white fig. B'noi sikma, Omer Rabba Chanon Rechon, Duvli. Gufnin is Shili Gufni. Nitzba is Porcha. Noivla is Tamra, what is that? Rabbi Lov, Reb Zeira. That's when we had a machlaikas. Chadom Abushli Kamra, V'chadom Atamri Dezika. Fine, everything is great. Says the Gemara, one moment. Bishloima leman doma bushli kamra. If you hold it over scorched, hainu dektoni, that's why it says hakalin shebedmai. What is this list? This is a list of what? Of foods that are essentially chayiv in maisrus. Now, we're talking about where presumably maisrus have already been taken. It's just that it was bought from Amon Haaretz, so there's a bit of a suffix, so maybe we should machme, maybe we should makel. That's why there's a discussion. So, what do I see over here? Sveikon hu de potter. The reason why I'm being makel is because it's a suffix. And even though normally when you have a suffix from Amon Haaretz, you're machme, but here will be makel, as we said, because they're not expensive. But the implication is hovadon chayev. But essentially, they're definitely chayev in maestros generally. So that makes perfect sense. Why should they not be? We're talking about dates. El olamand oma tamri dezika, they've been blown off. Vadon chayev? Question mark. They can't be. Why? Hefkerin, you know. Become hefka. Once they blow off, they become hefka. And if they become hefka, hefka is not chayev in maestros. Or trumas. Therefore, why are you telling me that there's a special leniency because what? Because they're not choshev. I don't need the leniency. They're not chayv in the first place. Why? Because it's hefka. Says the Gemara, you're right. We're talking about a very specific case. Hochmamaya skinon she'oson goyren. You made them into a goyren. You made it into a whole piled. Even though leket, shikha, and peah, of course, are also hefka and therefore potter, but she'osan goyra and hukva lemaisa. Fine. That's why we need to be taught that what? Even though they are chayav lemaisa, Rashi told us it's just a din derabbanan, but when you buy them from the Amon Haaretz, you can safely assume that he's probably taken maisa's. Why? Because he has no reason not to, because it's not that expensive. Says the Gemara in conclusion, Ikeda Omri. Some say that the question is as follows. If you translate Noivlois Tamra as what? As windswept, then I understand. Hainu dahocha korilo Noivlois Tamra, v'osam korilo tomorrow. So I understand why over here you call them one thing and over there you call them something else, because they are something else. Elo lamanda oma bushli kamra. But if you hold that the translation of Noivlois Tamra is what? Overcooked, overheated, overburnt dates. Nisni, so let it just state, idi v'idi Noivlois Tamra, or idi v'idi Noivlois Tamra. Why does it simply not say in both cases identical use of words? Says the Gemara, Kashia. That is a very big kasha, and in fact, if the Gemara leaves it unresolved, then presumably it's a knockout kasha. And therefore, the suggestion must be that Noivlois is one thing, and Noivlois Tamra is something else. So if you tell me that Noivlois Stam is overscorched dates, then we reach the inescapable conclusion that Noivlois Tamra must be something else, i.e., not scorched, but rather windblown. Okay, then we saw the next Gemara, and that was really the main Gemara, meaning the sugya that we spent a lot of time on. We had a machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. We're talking about, you have a number of minim. Rabbi Yehuda says min shiva, the Chachamim say eiz men sheyiritze, which, as we saw, means choviv. So clearly there's a machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Does min shiva, or does Chaviv win the day? The $64 million question we saw in the Gemara and then Baruch Hashem in the Shulchan Aruch is, what does that mean, wins the day? Is it a question of making just one bracha and the Shaila is, over which fruit are you making that bracha? Or is it a question of making two separate brachas and the question is, which one comes first? That's the big machloikas amoraim. In other words, there's a machloikas about which case there is a machlekes. So let's have a look at it again. Be'ez Hashem, we'll get it clear. Oma Ula. Ula says, Hayu lefon of minim harbe, Oma Ula. Machlekes b'she birkoisehen shavois. So he establishes that we're talking about where there's only one bracha, because it is talking about shavois. The example was a zayis and a tapuach. That's when we have a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda Sava min shiva odif, v'Rabbanan Savri min chaviv odif. So Rabbi Yehuda will tell you make a bracha over the zayis, and that would necessarily exempt the tapuach. And the chacham say no, whichever one is chaviv. Therefore, if the tapuach is chaviv, you make a bracha over it, and that would exempt the zayis. Now, Baruch Hashem, having seen the halacha, we now know there's actually a machloikas how to translate the word chaviv. The Shulchan Aruch paskens. Now, what does chaviv mean?
Whatever you generally
prefer. But the Shulchan Aruch, if you remember, in Siv Beis, brought the opinion of the Rambam that chaviv means Oisesho at the moment. And the Mishabura says that generally we don't pasken like the Rambam. There was a couple of cases where we saw we would be mitzaref the Rambam, but essentially chaviv means what you generally prefer. I think I mentioned very big chiddush in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that if you generally have a particular type of food or fruit, not necessarily because you enjoy the taste, just for medicinal reasons, that's also called chaviv. So if somebody has apples every day because he's been convinced that an apple a day... How's it go?
Keeps the doctor away.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away. So no, you don't necessarily enjoy the taste of an apple. If you're having it for health reasons, that necessarily is rendered chaviv. It's a bit of a chiddush. One could have debated it, but that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, at least the way I saw it quoted. Either way, Ulla tells us we're talking about Shavois, Zayis, and Tapuach. Obviously, there's only one bracha, because it's all Ha'etz. Therefore, the discussion can only be, which one do you say the bracha over, and that will exempt the other. Rabbi Yehuda says, Min Shiva, Rabbanon say, Chaviv.
Avol.
But she'ein birkoisein shavois. When, however, ein birkoisein shavois, divrei hakoil mavorech al zeh v'chozer mavorech al zeh. Then you definitely make two brachas. And of course, this was the big box that we had to fill in. Fine, obviously you make two brachas. One's ha'etz, one's adama. But you haven't told me
the order.
So this we saw again, a machlokes rishonim. Again, now that you've seen the halacha, that you see the beauty. You see the halacha, you see the sugya to its conclusion. So when you go back to the sugya, you see, back to the shiroshim, you see how it all builds up. We saw machloikas. Remember, when we drew out our chart, we had a box over here. When there's two minim, which one do you make the bracha over first? So what did Tosfos say?
Chaviv.
But there is another opinion, whoever it may be, that says, do what you like. Now, again, let's jump the gun a bit. We looked in the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch actually paskens like Ulla, and the Shulchan Aruch brought, as it were, the main opinion, do what you like. And then says, v'yesh oimrim chaviv. So remember, we saw the Bialocha. The Bialocha was very upset. Why was the Bialocha upset? Because it should be the exact opposite way around. Tosfos, who says chaviv, brought by the Shulchan Aruch as Yesh Oimrim, as if to say it was some sort of minority opinion, says the Bialocha, I looked into the subject and I found that most Rishonim hold that way. Not only that, the first opinion that the Shulchan Aruch brings, Bistam, as if to say it's the main opinion, is actually the Das Yochid. So there should be an absolute reversal. The main opinion is Chaviv, and the Mishabura says indeed that is the case. So halacha lemaisa, it turns out, if they're both ha'etz, min shiva, because we pasken like Rabbi Yehuda, unlike others who pasken chaviv, we pasken min shiva. If there's ha'etz and there's adama, then which one do you go for? Then essentially you go for chaviv.
Oh,
we had the opinion of the Bahag. Right. The Bahag says, one moment, ha'etz and adama, you always make a bracha of ha'etz. The Shabbos says, we don't hold to that. Here's when he's mitzaref that, unless it's chaviv now, then we'll bring back the Rambam. Okay. Says the Gemara, Meisvei. We have a question on Ulla. Hoyu lefonov tznoin v'zayis. So what is that? Shavois or einon shavois? Einon shavois. Tznoin is wadoma. Zayis is an olive. Ha'etz. And it says in the Brayis, Mavorech al hatznoin upoiter es hazayis. So why is that a question on Ulla?
Gula said you make two brachas.
Gula says you have to make a bracha and then another bracha, and here it says you make one bracha and you're done. Says the Gemara, don't be too worried about that. Hocha b'maya skinon, kishahatznoin ikka. We're talking about the radishes, the ikka, and if it's the ikka, so it patters the toffel. But otherwise you make two. Says the Gemara, ihochi, if that's the case, ema sefer. How you get on the sefer of that very brisa? It says afterwards that Yehuda ema mavorich al hazayis shehazayis mi min shiva. If you're talking about two separate foods, then I understand. But if you're talking about where it's an ikar and a toffel, how can it be the point of the min shiva? Less leila Rabbi Yehuda, does Rabbi Yehuda not hold hod etznan kol shehu ikar v'imoy tfeilo mavorech alo ikar v'poiteres atfeilo? Are you trying to suggest that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of the enormous ikar v'toffel rule? Surely he does. V'chitei mahochanami. And if you're going to try and suggest that maybe so, Delesley, maybe he doesn't. He's a Tana. And if he's a Tana, it's his prerogative. He's allowed to disagree. Maybe he doesn't hold to the whole principle. That can't be. Because Vahotanya, because we've learned in a Brisa, in a different Brisa, it says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Guess what? It's Rabbi Yehuda talking. And what does it say? Im machmas tznoin bo hazayis mevorech ala tznoin upoiter es ha zayis. Period. So you see absolutely clearly non-negotiable that Rabbi Yehuda
does hold of
Ikra and Tafel. So if that's the case, how can Rabbi Yehuda possibly say that you make a bracha over the Zayis because it's the Min Shiva? I thought you just told me that we're talking about that it was the Tznoin that was the Ikra. So Gemara says you're right. La'oilam b'tznoin Ikra askina. You're 100% right. If it doesn't say Ela. La'oilam, you're 100% right. But tznoin ikka askinon. We're jolly well talking about whether tznoin is the ikka, and Rabbi Yehuda would never disagree. There's only one bracha, and that bracha is hadoma over the tznoin, and the zayis would be patterned with it. So why did Rabbi Yehuda disagree? V'chli pligi Rabbi Yehuda v'rabbanon b'milsa achreti pligi. When they argued about a different case. What do you mean? Which different case? It doesn't say a different case. Yes, it does. There was a piece missing. V'chesurei mechsura, there's a piece missing from the Braisa v'hochi k'toni, and this is what it should have said. Ho yulafonov tznoin v'zayis. If you had a radish and an olive, mevorech ala tznoin, upoiter es azayis. Bamed vorim amurim. When is that true that the tznoin will win the day? Kesha tznoin ikka. And then?
The
ikka patters the toffel. Now, aval ein hatznoin ikka. But if the tznoin is not the ikka, and you've got two divrei akoil mevorech al ze v'chozer mevorech al ze. Ushnei minin ba'alma shebirkoisehen shavois. But if, however, you're dealing with not a tznoin and a zayis, but rather a zayis and a tapuach. Vorech al eizem mehen sheyirtze. What does that mean? Al eizem sheyirtze. Chaviv. Rabbi Yehuda Oima mevorech al hazayis. Shehazayis mimin shiva. Very good. So when Rabbi Yehuda says you make a vorech broch on the zayis, he wasn't talking about the ikka and toffel case. In the case of ikka and toffel, he'd be the first one to admit that you definitely make a broch over the ikka, which in our case is the tznoin, and that would exempt the zayis. When did he bring the min shiva onto the table? We're talking about in the sefer of the brisa. We had a piece missing, now it's been reinserted, where there is min shavois. So the issue is not how many brachas, but rather over which one should you make a bracha. And this is the old Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda told us already in the Mishnah, he would make a bracha over the min shiva. So far, at this stage of the game, the only opinion we've seen is Ula. Ula is learning that what is the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? The machlokes is shavois, one bracha. Is it the min shiva like Rabbi Yehuda? Is it the chaviv like the Chachamim? If it be einon shavois, then you definitely make two brachas, ha'etz and ha'adama, according to Tosfos. Which one comes first? The chaviv. So far, so good. Now, we're going to see that there are those who disagree with Ula. Says the Gemara, Pligi bo Rav Ami v'Rav Yitzchok nafka. What we said before in the name of Ula, that the Machlekes Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim is only in the case of Shavois, is actually a matter of debate between Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchok nafka. Chad omar Machlekes b'she birkoisein Shavois. One indeed says exactly like Ula, that yes, the machloikas is only when the brachas are shavois. De Rabbi Yehuda savar min shiva odiv, v'rabbanon savri min chaviv odiv. Avol kashe ein berkoisein shavois, divrei hakol mavorech al zeh, v'choizu mavorech al zeh. Okay, that's a word for word. Copy and paste from Ula. But v'chad omar, af! That's a key word, the af. Even in a case of b'she'ein birkei sehen shavais, nami machlekes. That means he's not disagreeing wall to wall, he's just adding. I agree that there's a machlekes with shavais. I'm just adding that there's a machlekes also with einom shavais. What does that mean also? So the Gemara explains. B'shloima, it's all fine and well. If you hold the machlekes is when it's shavois, then shapir. What does that mean, shapir?
It's
all fine. Well, we know exactly what the machlekes is. There's one bracha to be made, and the question is, over which one do you make it? But if you hold that the machlekes is when they are not shavois, but my pligi. I don't understand. How can you say there's a machlekes? What are you machlekes? What, you only make one bracha? Of course you've got to make two. So what's the discussion? So the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah lahakdeh. You're right. The question is not which one do you make a bracha over. That's only a relevant discussion when it's Shavuos. Here, of course, you make a bracha over them both. A fruit and a vegetable. Of course you make ha'itz over the fruit and adama over the vegetable. The machlokes is, the discussion is, what is the order lahakdim? Where do you see that kedima is an issue? Domar v'yosef itema Rabbi Yitzchok kol hamukdim b'posuk zeh mukdim lebracha. Rabbi Yitzchok, remember, it's a bit of a jump over here. Here we have to be careful. We're bringing a source for the kedima rule from Rabbi Yitzchok. But what was Rabbi Yitzchok talking about? Rabbi Yitzchok wasn't talking about where you're making two brachas. He was talking about
Same bracha,
and you've got a number of fruits of the Shiva Saminim, and it's Mechadosh at the order matters. So we're making a bit of a quantum leap. In the same way that Rabbi Yitzchok told us that Kedima, what do you mean Kedima? What, one bracha over another? No! There's only one bracha in the first place. But where, how will I decide over which fruit to make that bracha? There's an issue called kedima, so we're going to now copy and paste. So too, when there are two separate brachas, there can also exist a concept of kedima. But you see what I mean? It's a bit of a jump from the Gemara. It's not exactly parallel. We're just bringing a general source that there exists a concept called kedima. But over there, it's not kedima in brachas, it's kedima in chashivas, which fruit is considered more chashiv. So what did it say there? Again, Dom Rav Yisro Yitem Rav Yitzchok Kol HaMukdim B'Pasuk Zeh Mukdim LeBracha. Whichever is mentioned earlier on in this Pasuk gets precedence also for the Bracha. Shenema, Eretz, Chita, Usoira, 2, Geffen, 3, Te'ena, 4, Rimon, 5, Eretz Zeh Shemen, that is dates, 6, V'Dvash, Zei Shemen is olives, Vidvash is dates. That's 7 altogether. Now remember, again, we've seen the end of the Gemara. It's not accurate to call it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's really A, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and B, 1 and 2. So when we say whichever is mentioned early on in the Pasuk, it's not strictly accurate that. It's really whichever one is mentioned earlier vis-a-vis the word Eretz, which is actually mentioned twice. But either way, you see in the Pasuk that there exists a concept called Kedima. Whichever is mentioned first in the Pasuk, that's one you make a bracha over. So for the same price, there can exist a machlokes that even when I'm making two brachas, that there exists a concept of kadima, even though that's a slightly different issue. Now, says the Gemara, Upliga de Rav Chanan. This whole concept of kadima being learned from the Shiva Samin in Pasuk, which Rav Yosef in the name of Rav Yitzchok told us, is not in accordance with the opinion of Rav Chanan. Why? Dama Rav Chanan, kol ha-posuk kulai l'shi'urin ne'emar. This posuk has come to teach us something else completely. Every word in this posuk has come to teach us a halacha with regard to shi'urim, nothing to do with kedima. What does that mean, shi'urim? So we saw one by one. Chita, number one, chita. Where is there a halachic principle regarding chita? T'tnan ha-nichnas l'beis ha-manuga. If one enters a bias that has tsaras on it, v'kelov al kseifov, and his kelim are on his shoulders, which means, what does that mean, his kelim, by the way?
Clothes.
His clothes means he's not wearing them, he's just carrying them. V'sandalov and his shoes, v'taba'isov and his rings, v'yodov on his hands, hu v'hein t'mein miyad. Then both he, but also them, meaning the clothes, all become Tomei Miyad. Remember why? Rashi brought all the psukim, we're not going to go all over that again, but the bottom line was, everything that enters a bayis manuga essentially becomes Tomei straight away. What's the exception? Clothing. But that's only if indeed it's being used as clothing. If you have a pile of clothes on your shoulders or in your hands, then it's not a clothing, it's just an item that you're carrying around. So it doesn't get the status of clothing. That's why it says it becomes Tommy straight away. But Hoya Lavush Kelov, if he indeed he was wearing his begodim, the sandalov and his shoes, Baraglov are on his feet, the taboisov, Betzboisov and his rings are on his fingers, then who Tommy Miyat? Then it's true that he becomes Tommy straight away. But Vehain Tahoirin, they would become Tommy until which point? Ad sheyishe b'chdei achilas pras chitin, until such time that it will be possible to eat a bread of chita. And that's what we learn from chita. But v'loy pasoirin, not pasoirin. Rashi explained that pas chitin is eaten quicker. May save, however long it would take to eat it relaxed, v'oichlon belifton, and eating it nicely flavored. So where all of those halachas are learned from is not our discussion, but the bit that is our discussion is the chito aspect.
Again, what's the difference with him wearing it? Why is there a delay?
The Gemara, the Rashi told us, we learn from a pasuk that there's a difference between a person and clothing.
Right.
A person that enters the bayis hamanuga becomes tomei straight away.
Right.
We learn from sukkim that clothing, a certain time has to elapse. But that's only if the clothing is being worn. Otherwise, we don't view it as clothing.
Right, but why?
Because it's not functioning as clothing. It's not functioning as clothing.
But why does clothing get a delay?
Because they learn from apostles. All learn from apostles.
Okay.
Learn from apostles. But again, even though the apostle tells me that clothing gets a delay, it's only when it's functioning as clothing.
I understand.
If I walk in carrying a plastic bag with my shirt in it, then it's not functioning as clothing. What is it? It's just, I don't know, another item. All items without exception, besides for clothing, become Tommy straight away. If it's functioning as clothing, then indeed it adopts special status and will not become Tommy straight away. This time has got to elapse. What is that time? The time it would take Kedei Achilas Pras. By the way, we know that Kedei Achilas Pras exists in many, many, many cases. In fact, Kedei Achilas Pras is always the definition of Achila. So for example, if the Torah says, both with regard to mitzvahs and also averis, the Torah says there's a mitzvah to eat a kazayis of matzah on Seder night. What does eating mean? Can I eat a piece now, another piece another half an hour, another piece another half an hour? It'll take 5 hours to eat the matzah. And the answer is no, that's not called eating. What is eating? Kedei achilas pras. So too, in the case of averis, if somebody has a piece of nevela, so if he eats kazayis, then he'll get malchus. What does that mean, eating kazayis? What, over the span of 5 hours? No, k'dei achilas pras.
What are the different shittas there?
So they're the most chomor shitta, but again, it's not really fair to call it chomor. Why is it not fair to call it chomor? Very good. Depends if you're talking about mitzvahs and averes. If I tell you that some say k'dei achilas pras is 2 minutes, and the most extreme opinion is 9 minutes. So I'll ask you, is 9 minutes a chumra or a kula? The answer is, depends what you're talking about. If it's for matzah, it's a tremendous kula. You have almost 10 minutes to eat your matzah. But if it's aveira, then it's a tremendous chumra. Why is it tremendous chumra? Because even if you spent almost 9 minutes eating the nevela, you still get malchus. So to the opposite, if I ask you the 2 minute shir, is that a kula or a chumra? The answer is, it depends. With regard to mitzvahs, matzah on Seder night, it's a tremendous chumrah. You've really got to rush eating your matzah. But with regard to averas, it's a big kula. It means you'll only get malchus if you ate it in less than 2 minutes. But if you ate it in 3 minutes, you won't get malchus. So again, it's always vis-a-vis whether it's about mitzvahs or averas. It's considered preferable, therefore, certainly on Seder night, for example, where the mitzvah of matzah is a mitzvah do'iraisa. So certainly one would want to take the most stringent opinion if one can, and that is 2 minutes. But there are occasions where we'll have to be mekel.
Who she did 2 minutes?
It varies based on the chaznish. But if it's not possible, sometimes it's about somebody who's elderly or unwell, then there certainly is room for leniency to go with the other opinions, all the way up to 9, some say 4, some say 7, there's all different ways of measuring it. But certainly the most chomer opinion is 2 minutes, and one should try and get that opinion, at least for matzah, which is a mitzvah do'iraisa. Okay, so that's what's learned from the pasuk of chitin. What about sa'irin? Sa'ira, number 2, says the Gemara, the Tanan, because we have a Mishnah. And it says, etzem kasa'ira. What does it mean, etzem kasa'ira?
Bone the size of a barley.
A bone the size of a barley, metame b'maga u'b'masa, but ve'enoi metame b'oihel. It's not metame ba'oil, but if it is the size of a sa'ira, it at least will be tome, will be metame if you come into physical contact with it. Remember, that's always the chiddush of tumas oil. Tumas oil is the tome that is transmitted even not through the medium of physical contact. I can enter a building 7 miles long, and if I'm on one side and the mace is on the other side, I become tome, even though there's no physical contact. Whereas maga umaso, that's through physical contact. This, by the way, is a famous shaila. What do kohenim do going into museums, for example? I think in London, the British Museum.
You wear a plastic bag.
Plastic bag, right.
But wait a minute, it's only human bones.
Right, but there are, I think, various either bones or mummified beings. There's a whole question, whether they're metame or not.
Jews
are metame ba'oihel, not a goy. But a goy is metame b'mago b'maso. Kids, it's complicated shilas. How do we know? We don't know whose bones and flesh or whatever they've got in there. So maybe it is metame. Therefore, it's a whole question of coin. You want to go to the British Museum? You have to. I remember I was once asked a shaila about somebody here in Gimel who is an army chaplain, and he's taking a group of soldiers from the Israeli army to Yad Vashem. So he called me up, he said he heard that in Yad Vashem they have human remains there. So is it mutter for Kohenim to enter? So I remember I asked Rav Kornfeld at the time, and that very day Rav Kornfeld said it's very difficult. Shailabi said that very day I'm actually going to go and visit Rabbi Yitzchok Zilberstein. I think he took the kids of the Grosh or Rabbi Yashiv's son-in-law. So it was a whole discussion. But meanwhile, I called up, I have a cousin who is a tour guide in Yad Vashem, and she was absolutely horrified by the suggestion. Said, we as a matter of principle do not have any human remains whatsoever. Initially I'd heard that they had lampshades or soaps that Rahman al-Islam were made from skins or fats, human fats, and they said as a matter of principle Yad Vashem, at least their policy is that under no circumstances whatsoever would they allow Jewish human remains into the museum. Therefore, as far as she was concerned, the shaila was a non-starter anyway.
The rooms, does it make a difference, the rooms within the building?
Yeah. This is, of course, very common shailah. Rav Zelig, I'm sure, is well aware. Kohenim entering hospitals, for example, especially if it's a hospital like Shari Tzedek, which is a very large hospital, relatively speaking. And unfortunately, it's hard to say that it's totally unexpected for there to be a dead body in the building. So in some hospitals, Shari Tzedek included, they now have a system outside the hospital where they will signal if there is a dead body. I think I was recently outside Hadassah in Kerem, and they have that as well.
But they have that almost always?
No, it's not always body? Almost. No, it's not always almost. All I'm saying is...
Autopsies? I mean, not autopsies, I'm sorry, the mortuary?
Yeah, yeah. It's not almost always, but it certainly is beyond the realms of a very rare, far-fetched concern. It's something that could happen. I don't know whether it's this guy every day or every 2 days or half a day, I don't know, but it's... It's not unusual.
The problem is there's no way to alert one
once you're in the building already. Right.
The status has changed.
And that's difficult. So you'll enter the hospital because you'll see that it says Kohenim okay, and then for all you know, maybe somebody just passed away.
In the mortuary, the 12 drawers, would that be enough of an awl?
So I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Back to our subject. So now we've learned Chitin and Sa'ira. Says the Gemara, Geffen number 3, Kidei Revius Yain Lenozif. Remember we said, the Revius of a Geffen, of wine, is actually larger than the Revius of water. How can that be? So we explain, because there's density, therefore when you fill the cup, if it's water, then immediately, when it arrives over the surface, it will spill out. So it can't possibly become more than a Revius. But Geffen, wine, because it's of its thick nature, you can add a couple of millimeters and it will not yet spill out. So we're learning from Geffen that with regard to a nozir, it's only if you drink the revius, charzanim and zogin, the peels and the pits, it's only if you eat the revius of wine's worth, but not of water. That was the third halacha. Fourth halacha, te'eno a fig, kegregres lohitzoas shabbos. Gregres is a dry fig. So the halacha is, if you do meleches haitzah on Shabbos, it's only considered to be a malacha if a certain shiur is transported. If somebody would transport a tiny soup crouton, soup nut, that's definitely less than a day, that would not be considered a malacha d'oraisa. It doesn't mean it's allowed to be done, but a malacha d'oraisa, it would not be considered. That was number 4. Rimoin, kedotanan, this is another mission also with regards to the halachas of Tumah. Kol kli bali batim shiuram karimoin. Remember we said there's the difference in bali batim and an uman. An uman, who's a tradesman, a craftsman, professional, he obviously would not sell any kli which was broken in any way. Therefore, the minute that the kli had any type of hole in it, what would be the halacha? It's no longer considered a kli, and it would not be makabel tumah. But if you're a balabais, who's less particular, so then I only consider it a non-kli, at which point...
A riman could go through.
Because when it comes, it's completely non-functional. So as Rashi says, it's got a small hole, you put in nuts, and it's got nuts, you put in apples if not, and olives, and if not, a rimoin. But once it gets the hole the size of a rimoin, it can't contain anything. At that point, the kli is considered totally non-functional, and is no longer classified as a kli, and therefore is not makabel tumah. That was halacha number 5. Eretz zeis shemen, om Rabbi Yisib Rachanina, eretz shekol shioreho kezeisim. This is obviously the easiest one. As we know, shear of a kezais is the most famous shear of them all. That's why the Gemara calls it kol shioreho. It's not just referring to a specific case of a kli and a rimoin, and an etzem, and a geffen, and all shiurim are a kezais, says the Gemara once. It's not quite true. Kol shioreho salkadatoch. Is that true to say, what, all shiurim? Surely there are those that we just stated above, which clearly are not kazayis. Chita and soira. Elo eretz she roiv shioreho kazayisim. Roiv shiurim, as we know, most mitzvahs, most averas, the shiur is a kazayis. Final one, dvash is kekeseves hagaso, a large date. Yom HaKippurim. If you remember, we discussed this last time. Why, with regard to Yom Kippur, is the shear not a kazayis? Because the Torah doesn't say that one mustn't eat on Yom Kippur. Rather, it says one has to afflict oneself. Inui. Inui has a different set of rules. We now have to decide how much must one eat to be considered non-affliction. And that is a larger size than a
gazette.
It might be. It is, it is. The Gemara says, it will be Taylon, Igmalach HaBoshon, etc., etc. This is the average. Now, Ve'idach, says the Gemara, the other opinion, meaning the one who says that you learn from this posse the principle of Kedima, so how did he deal with these Shi'urim issues? Ve'idach, the other opinion says, Hani Shi'urim Behedya Miksivi. Does it say it absolutely clearly in the pasuk? Absolutely not. Elo midrabonon v'kro asmachta ba'alma. The pasuk is an asmachta ba'alma. If you cannot bring me a raya from this pasuk is not talking about shiurim. Therefore, I have every right to say that I derive from the pasuk the principle of kedima. Says the Gemara. Finish off the sugya with a short story. Rav Chista v'Rav Amnuna have a yosvi besuda asa. They were sitting together in a suda, aisu l'kamayu. They brought in front of them tamri v'rimoini. That is, a date and a pomegranate. Shokel Ravuna took and borech and made a brocha at tamri bereisha. Now we know tamri is...
No.
Tomor is the last one.
It's number 7.
It's number 7. So Borech and Tamri Beresha. He made a bracha over the date in the beginning. Omalei Rav Chista. So Rav Chista said to him, what's going on? Loi Sfir Alei Mar. Does the master not hold? Lahod Omer Rav Yosef Vitemer Rav Yitzchok. Do you not hold to the principle that what? Kol HaMuktam B'Posuk Zeh Kodem Lebracha? Question mark. Surely, date is mentioned 7th, and a rimoin is mentioned 5th. So if you've got number 5 and number 7, surely number 5 should win the day. So he said, no. Omale ze sheini la'oretz, ze chamishi la'oretz. You don't look at the posuk as a whole, you look at where it says oretz, and it says oretz twice. So even though it's mentioned last in the posuk, but it's number 2 to oretz number 2.
What if they're both to their respective.
So therefore what we call this is, it's really it's A, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then B, 1 and 2. So B, 2, beats A, 5. Omalei, so he said to him, wow. Man, yoev lo nagri de parizelech v'nashminoch. If only somebody would give me metal feet, I would walk after you and I would follow you because you've said such a tremendous chiddush that it's worthwhile listening and following every last word. By the way, the Chasam Sofer writes in a certain place, there's a whole discussion. When you write in the Shemitah year Prusbel, so we all write a Prusbel in order to not get involved in Shailas with regard to claiming debts, otherwise the Shemitah is Meshamit, the Choyv. What does that mean? It's Meshamit? It cancels the debt. So there is a bit of a discussion. When in Shemitah is the Chayiv cancelled? Is it the beginning or is it the end of Shemitah? The main halacha is we paskan halacha, the end of Shemitah. If you remember the last Shemitah, everybody was busy writing Prusbelim, like on the last day or just before Rosh Hashanah, at the end of the Shemitah year. But there is a bit of a discussion. So therefore, some opinions say, Chayiv to bring from Rabbi Yaakov Emden or Rabbi Yitzchak Eberschitz, some say that maybe there is reason to write a Prusbel in the beginning of the year. So the Chasam Sofer writes in one place an incredible statement. The Chasam Sofer's prime Rebbe was Rav Nosson Adler. And he followed him and lived with him and did shimush by him to such an incredible degree that he writes in one place, I can state categorically that my Rebbe did not write a Prusbel until the end of Shemitah. Now how can you possibly say such a thing? We always know that you can give testimony on what you saw, but you can't give testimony on what you didn't see. So he writes over there, because I didn't leave my Rebbe's side for the entire duration of the Shemitah year. I didn't leave his side. I was literally with him 24/7 for at least a year straight, and therefore I can categorically state that he never wrote a Prusbel until the end of Shemitah. Al kopon, that's what this Gemara is telling us, that because you said such a tremendous chiddush, if only I'd have metal feet, I would follow you all day long. Now, just as a final halacha, Rav Nachum, you asked, so if you look at Oretz, so B2 trumps A5, so what's the halacha if you have B2 and A2? Or B1 and A1, that we saw in Tosas, then you'd go with
A.
And that, Moira Rabbeisai, is the end of the sugya. We'll hold it over here.
I don't understand the sugya.
Have chazara.
What do you mean?
We had Ula.
Yep.
Okay? Ula we filled in a box. We said, everyone agrees. And then we bring... another opinion says that maybe a machlokus.
Not maybe. He says it's a double machlokus. Okay, Shabbos and all. We're going to call that Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Fine.
So what is the machlokus? We said one idea was it's lahakti. We said
also lahakti.
It's also lahakti.
That means everybody agrees, both Ula and Rabbi Yirmiyahu, that there is a machlokus with Shabbos. There, the machlokes has nothing to do with the lahaktim because there's only one bracha.
Right.
The question is, which one do you make a bracha
right,
over?
Right.
The discussion between Rav Ula and Yirmiyahu is there also af nami?
Good.
Is there also another machlokes with einon shavos? What would the machlokes be? Lahaktim.
That's what I understand. Every example we gave lahaktim was with one bracha.
And that's what we said, copy and paste.
Everything from here all the way to the example we just gave.
100%. That's what I said. We're making a quantum leap.
So how do you apply?
So lahaktim over here, there's two types,
brachas.
Right? So there's two types of lahaktims. That's what we said over here. It's a bit of a quantum leap. The classic lahaktim would mean, like in the case of I've got two fruits, I've got a rimoin and a zayis. It's only one bracha. So, both should have some meaning, and the question is which one gets precedence, whichever one is mentioned first in the pasuk.
It's the same bracha.
Yeah, but Rav Yirmiyahu's lahaktim is I've got to make two brachas. Which bracha do I make first? Just like, for example, what we saw in Shulchan Aruch in Siv Dalet. When you have ha'etz and shahakel, what's the halacha? Why? Because we said, one is a more specific, less... Muvureres tfei. That's a classic example of lahaktim.
So why didn't the Gemara tell us that?
It says lahaktim. That's what it means, lahaktim, over here. The Gemara says, my pligi... What would be the argument? Amar of Yirmiyahu, one word, lahaktim. Everything we brought afterwards is just a proof that there exists this type of concept. As you rightfully point out, it's not a perfect match. Because the proofs that we bring are talking about lahaktim when it's one bracha, not when it's two. But we just bring a principally an example that the musug of lahaktim exists.
But I would have hoped that the Gemara would have introduced at this point. You say ha'etz before ha'adama.
That's what it means. That's what it means. That's exactly what lahaktim means.
But it doesn't make that's reference what to that means. At all.
That according to Rav Yehuda, you always give precedence to the min shiva. And according to the chachamim, you'd go with chaviv.
Okay.
Irrelevant of what's ha'etz and what's ha'adama. Right. That's the Bahag. You're right. The Bahag says you look at the bracha, ha'etz always wins the day. In the final analysis, we saw we don't paskin like that. We paskin like ula. And that the machlokes is only when there is one bracha. If there is two brachas, you make a bracha of whichever is chaviv. Even though the Shulchan Aruch brought two opinions, but the Bi'alocha says, I don't like it. The main opinion is Tosas, and you go with chaviv. So actually, in the final analysis, it's less complicated than you might otherwise think. Okay. We'll hold it over here. Baruch Hashem, I think it was a very, very gishmak sugya. We learned it well. Tosas, Shulchan Aruch, and Mishnah Berurah. Eiz Hashem Yisbarach, next week we're going to start another sugya, which is also a tricky little sugya. But it'll begin with two dots, Itmar, and it takes us all the way to the Mishnah, the bottom of Mambeis Amadav.